Once you mention the name Dorcas, there are very many Christian meetings you can say, well, when I read about her, I have been motivated and I have been greatly encouraged as I have looked at her life. And I think it's fair to say that the whole story of Dorcas has been an inspiration to thousands of people over the years, not just to lady folk, but to men as well. She lived in a place called Joppa, which was a relatively small town there on the shore of the Mediterranean, so she would have been quite well known among a number of people there. While I say it was quite small, it was a chief seaport at Palestine, really, at that time. And there was a group of believers there at Joppa. Now, some of the commentators believe that the church, the people that they may have met in the house that belonged, the home of this lady Dorcas. Whether that is the case or not, we know that there were believers there, and they did just as you and I are doing today, and they come aside to worship and to pray and to fellowship the one with the other. We know remarkably little about Dorcas. We don't know whether she was married or single. Don't know whether she was rich or poor. We can't say what her position was in society if she didn't want. But we know this for sure, that the Bible records for every generation here that Dorcas was a woman that was full of good works. That's not said about too many people, even in the Bible, that she was a woman who was full of good works. And of course, when you read that, even though there's quite scanty details about her, it is worthwhile considering her life today. Her name is very interesting. The name Dorcas means gazelle. And some of you will know what a gazelle is. It is a very, very fast land animal, like a deer or an antelope. And it is remarkable in that I can't remember how many yards it can cover in one leap. It's amazing the speed of this animal and how it is so light on its feet, and it really has a spring in its step. Well, that is what her name meant. She was one who had a spring in her step, and she got stuff done as best she could, not just for the Lord, but for other people as well. There's another meaning to her name, and it's also a very lovely meaning. It means full of grace. What a name it is then, Dorcas. One who was like a gazelle. She had a spring in her step when it came to doing what she could for the Lord. And as we see this morning, it was not something that was very complicated that she did for the Lord. But the people loved her, and the good reason to do that, and she was full of grace. So this morning we want to look for a while at Dorcas, full of good works. I would like you to notice, first of all, the contented way she chose. The contented way that she chose. Now, it says there at the beginning of verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. It just says that she was a certain disciple. You and I are very aware that when someone comes and trusts the Lord, and lots of people come when they're children, and they are saved soundly by God's grace, and they become a Christian. But in the true sense of the word, whenever you refer to someone as a disciple, we're looking at one who is following after Christ. And that there will therefore be various characteristics in their life that will show that they are disciplined ones. Because that's what a disciple is, one who accepts Christ's discipline in his word when we come to something there and it rebukes us, as very often has been prayed in our prayer meetings by people that say, Lord, help us to accept it. If it's a word of rebuke, I don't get up here to have a go, or to get you, or to get anybody, and trust you all know that. But the Lord speaks to me through his word, and sometimes he rebukes me. And I have to accept his word in his discipline. We have to acknowledge his authority. And folks, that's in every area of our life. We have to yield and submit to his rule. And we have to follow the example of Christ. The example of Christ. I was actually reading a passage fairly recently, and I read it again because it was quite, well, I read it many times before, but it really spoke to my heart. And if you look there in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it talks there about wantonness in verse 18, which actually means lasciviousness, which again means the absence of restraint. The absence of restraint. And when there is the absence of restraint, you can hardly say that there's discipline. And it goes on to say there, and we want to be careful here in what we say, because it's talking about believers. It says in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in canard." Those are quite challenging words. And as I said, we can't get away from the fact here that it's talking about those who had been escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and then becoming entangled again. And as I read it again, I have to conclude that while this person, their soul will be saved, as far as their life is concerned, when they get away from that place of discipline before other people, not least, I'm sure, their own families, there is a really terrible example. A terrible example. And an example of how we ought not to try to live as believers. Because it says there that the end, the latter end, is worse with them at the beginning. And I thought about that, and I thought about some of the down through the years that come to the Lord. And then when I look at some of them now, and this is not a criticism. Reverend Johnson said the other day, when he was speaking here, some people think I have a gift of criticism. Well, I don't. I'm just conveying a fact to you. The fact is that their life now is a really, really bad example. And not least to those in the family circles. Some of them don't know the Lord yet, and their example is not good. Over there in Luke chapter 10, Luke's Gospel in chapter 10. There's a Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. Here's the other end of the spectrum. Someone who was determined that their life would tell. And while there were other things to be done, you see here that this particular individual, she was not going to lose out with the Lord. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 10. And she had a sister, that is Mary had, or sorry, Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. The word cumbered there is the word encumbrance, and it simply means she had a great deal of burden. She had plenty of things that she needed to do. And so does most people that I know. The one I'm married to, sometimes it's far too much to do. But there's so many burdens here, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, They are troubled about many things. And this word is only used here in the New Testament. It means to have your mind in a spin or a tumult. Or to be almost not meeting yourself, as we would use the expression sometimes, meeting yourself coming back. She was very busy. But then the Lord goes on to say, but one thing is needful. One thing, and in spite of all of these things that are legitimate and have to be seen to, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen a good part which shall not be taken away from her. And what was the good part? Well, verse 39, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha needed to do that too. And folks, for you and I to be disciplined, to be contented, to choose that way, that's what Mary here had done. She knew the work had to be done. Just as Martha did, but she wasn't going to lose out because of it. She wasn't going to lose out because of it. There she was, first she was found at the feet of the Lord, and she was contented in the way that she chose, just like Dorcas. Dorcas was a disciplined one. She was a certain disciple there, the Bible says. I can turn with you, please, to John chapter 6 just now. And again, when we were preparing for this morning, we were thinking of this passage. And some people who had been told that for them to go on with the Lord, they needed to continually feed on Christ and to be disciplined. And where do I get that? Well, for instance, verse 56 of John 6, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Where it says there, he that eateth is in the continuous tense. It's in a continuous thing. We come to him and embrace him as Savior. Then we feed upon him in his word and in fellowship with him. He's provided these things for us. And we have the Lord's table, but we do have also fellowship with believers. And this is so important, because when you go on down through these verses in John 6, it says there in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples, these were people who had been disciplined, thought they had been following. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. See, folks, it's not a new thing. It happened then. It happened then when he was here in the flesh. If it happened then, it can happen today. And Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? And that speaks to my heart. And I have to tell you myself, you know, you may be disciplined for a year or 5 years or 10 years or 50 years. Or as far as David McMurray is concerned, John Donne was disciplined for 60 years. He turned not to the right hand nor to the left. And I have to think of those words. Will ye also go away? And sometimes Peter, as we mentioned on various occasions, Peter didn't always speak in turn and carefully. And he was not always careful to make sure that he did not hurt people or offend people. But what he said here was spot on. Spot on. And he said in verse 68, Lord, for whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. In other words, with no one else. But some did go. Because that's what we read just earlier. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. And I want to speak to my own heart and to your heart now, young person, older person. There will always be lots of invitations to go away. Maybe relationships. It may be ambition that gets out of hand. It may be, but if you come here and do this, and we all be merry, so much better. The invitations, and if you are a young person, I feel that certainly sometimes you will feel that they're coming thick and fast. Invitations to go away. What are the indications of going away? Well, you remember Thomas. when the Lord was in the upper room and he met with the disciples, he'd risen again, and the other disciples told Thomas, they said, "The Lord is risen." He said, "No, he's not." They said, "Well, yes, he is." And then he said, "Well, unless I put my hand in the holes in his side and in his hands, I don't believe what you fellows are saying." And then when he was able to come and see the Lord and meet with him himself, then he definitely didn't believe that the Savior was risen. Why did he not believe in the first place? Because he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Now, I don't know what his lie or his excuse was on this occasion, but the other men were all extremely busy men too, but they were there. They were there. And he lost out because he wasn't there. And folks, one of the indications of going away, and I'm speaking to my own heart, and I've talked with people, and I've sat with people who are in tears, and some of them didn't go away, and some of them did. And always, I say, well, you have to have the Word, you know, reading the Word, and you need to be listening to it, preached, and you need to be seeking the Lord, but you need to be there. You need the presence of God's people. Oh, but I don't, there's so-and-so, I don't really like them. And she never speaks to me. And I said, "No, but you need to look above her and you need to look to the Lord. And you need to be there." And sometimes they went away and they made shipwreck. And it didn't happen all overnight. There's a process, there were the indications of going away, folks. The indications of going away. And the disciples here, look at verse 60 in John 6, said, "Many therefore his disciples, when they have heard this," this is a hard saying. It was a hard saying then that they would feed upon the Lord. Why is it hard? Because it meant discipline. It meant devotion. It meant giving themselves to following after him. The invitations to go away are legend. The indications of going away can be seen. The implications of going away, we read about earlier on in 1 Peter, about the pig returning to wallowing in the mire, and the dog returned to its vomit, and the testimony is gone. But the implication is not to go away. We'll not find satisfaction or usefulness or joy as in any other place than following after him. And we look at this woman in Dorcas. She was, it just says of her that she was full of good works, but she was contented in the way that she chose. And folks, in a discontented world, let's all be content. Let's all be content to choose to follow after him, to be disciplined, to be those disciples, and not to go away. So there was here the contented way that she chose, but then there was the consistent willingness that she displayed. You see where it says there in verse 36? It talks about her and it says, "Dorcas, this woman, was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." Well, the word there "did," it means continue doing or consistently did. She did what she could. Our denomination owes a huge debt to women. We set up the other night prayer meeting. And not just those who've gone to the mission field and such an example there, but those in our churches right now. I suppose as far as churches goes, there's none who's any more to women than Aberdeen for all that they do. And you know, some of the stuff's been complicated, but if it doesn't get done, then that stops the wheel going round. Then this woman here, what did she do? She did a bit of knitting. She did a bit of knitting. Maybe when there was a child born, she would knit him a little coat, just like some people would do, a little cardigan type, whatever the garment was then. But that's what she did. A needle doesn't seem to be a very big thing. And the ability to use it is fairly common. I don't get it. I've said to her, I seen her knitting really fast, and I hardly get the loops to stay together. How does it tie together and all? I just can't get it. I can't do it. But there's lots of people can do it. It was not, what I'm saying is, it was not something that was outstanding, but she did it with all of her heart. So much so that that is what is mentioned here in the Bible in verse 39. It says they were weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made. This was after she died. They were so appreciative of all that she had done. And folks, you and I are not saved by good works. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're to be saved, you will be saved in repenting and trusting Christ as your Savior. But that passage in Ephesians 2 also goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Doesn't the little hymn say, take the task that he gives you gladly, and labor not for wealth nor fame? Thankful to the Lord to this day, and I mentioned it to one of my colleagues the other night, that the fame thing, I don't care who doesn't know my name. It has never interested me. I was always a content person to be a background worker, and no one knew me. And I wouldn't be doing what I do, only the Lord led me to this point. And I still don't care who knows me. Labor not for wealth nor fame. Folks, to take the past, he gives us gladly. And that is what she did here. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, there's a reference there to people. And they were not very wealthy people. They had, in verse 2, there was deep poverty, and they hadn't changed as far as their heart was concerned. It says in verse 3, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. This is what we're looking at, you see. The willingness, the consistent willingness that she displayed. And then when she passed here, they were coming out with these little garments that she had made, and they were in tears and thinking, how we miss her. Here's what she'd done. It was not something that was outstanding, but she'd done it. She'd done it. And it says here of these folk that they were willing of themselves. And it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They did have the faith, and they did what they could, but they gave their hearts unto the Lord first. And that's what they wanted to do. And when the heart was willing, as it says there, above their own power in verse 3, when the heart was willing to follow the Lord, then doing all the other things, even the mundane things, and the things that seem insignificant, that was not a problem. And that's the kind of person that Dorcas was. She just met it. Used her needle, or so, and used her needle. We haven't time this morning, but the Apostle James has a whole lot to say about works. I know that one other, very, very well, in fact, a reformer, Martin Luther, initially did not have a great deal of time for the book of James. He thought that James spoke too much about good works, but James never says that you're saved by good works, but he does emphasize the importance of them. And Luther changed his mind in some degree as the years went by and recognized the importance of the book of James here. And over in James, there, if you look, for instance, in chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, that loved one of yours and mine who doesn't know the Lord, they will expect good works from us. And it's not too much to expect, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What I need to ask my own heart is, am I willing to be like Dorcas? Across Northern Ireland today and much further afield, there are people who are very, very thankful for the work of mothers. As I said at the start, I know it's a difficult day for some, and I broadened it out and spoke just about a woman. And I can equally say that we are very, very thankful for the labors of women. Why is it when they work all day in their busy schedule, they have their work at home to do, why is it that they still will try to do what they can in the Lord's work? Or maybe at home they will do something that helps someone else, or they that in their lives which shows them to be involved in trying to do what they can. Why is it? It's because their faith is not dead. Because it is a real and living faith in the Lord. And folks, it's a very challenging consideration here, her consistent willingness she displayed. And we're thankful that the Lord is able to help all of us to be willing in these days. One other thing, and I'm going to be brief because the time is slipping away here. There was also the worthiness that she realized. Some of the people in those days were doing mighty works. One was actually wrought on her after she passed and she was raised again. And Peter was one of the people who was involved. And in those days, the reputation of how the Lord was working through some people was spread abroad. And people sometimes, on occasion, were listening to men preaching, and there were hundreds, if not thousands, of coming to Christ. And yet she saw worthiness in what she did. You can say about Dorcas, she used her needle for the glory of God. She used her needle for the glory of God. Yes, it was a small thing, but it was extremely acceptable. Not just to the folk who knew her, but people to the Lord as well. To the Lord, don't think what you do, beautiful, is insignificant, or menfolk. It's very significant. In fact, if you look at this passage, it's interesting that there were some ladies who attended to her. Verse 37, you will see there, when she was sick, they had washed her and laid her in the chamber. There she had people were in there. Who are they? Don't know. But the work they do was an important vital. And then look, that when they heard that Peter wasn't too far away, they sent some people to Lydda to fetch Peter. Who were they? Don't know. Just errand boys. Just like us. Doesn't matter who they were. The fact that everybody forgets about them doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It was a little task, but it was vital. And it had to be done. And I want to close by simply saying that there are so many opportunities for all of us to do something for the Lord. And on this day of the year, when many express their gratitude to the mother, and in reflection, remember mothers. When we think of women in general, and we think of Dorcas, one who the Bible says was full of good work, surely there's challenge for all of us. Challenge for all of us to do what we can while we can. I finish him by, and this will be probably the last time that I will mention here, by mentioning John Donne. Just a few weeks ago, probably less than 2 months ago, but he always had to get to the prayer meeting, first of all, in my time, in the Zimmer frame, and then get down to the wheelchair, and had to get there. And about 2 months ago or less, it was actually less, because it was maybe 5 weeks ago, after the call for the minister and work, and he wanted his wife to bring him to the Craigie Road and to let him off at various houses where new people live, so that he could go in and say, "We've got a new kid, new minister, now would you come out to one of the meetings?" Even a man in that declining health, and what an example he was, just like Dorcas. You could say of her that she did. Folks, may the Lord help us all these days to be like darkness and to be filled with good works.